Welcome to the Entrepreneurial Court Reporter Podcast.
Hello. So today I'm going to be talking to Elizabeth Wigner, the proofreading business coach. She's a work from home business coach, proofreader, and freedompreneur who teaches other readers and typo fixers how to build a life of freedom as a proofreader. I believe it was one of her students who reached out to me and suggested that I interview Elizabeth Wigner, the proofreading business coach. So I'm assuming it's one of her students. I'm not 100% sure. The thing about Facebook is that when you message, I have a lot of Facebook messages, and unfortunately you can't search your messages for keywords. If there is a way to do that, please email me and let me know, because whenever I search my messages, I can only search for the name of the person who messaged me. So since I have so many, I can't remember everyone's names. And so I always am searching keywords, but then it doesn't work because it only searches the names. So anyway, we court reporters have a lot of things in common with proofreaders in the way we run our businesses, we work with each other, and we ended up talking for a whole hour and a half. So I broke it up into three different episodes. The first one is mostly about like our time management and self-care and running a business. And then the second episode is more about the financial aspect of running the business and billing and the different rates that we have, invoicing and things like that. And then the third episode is about the relationship dynamic between court reporters and proofreaders and how we can help each other out.
Hey, Elizabeth, how are you?
Good. Thank you for having me. I'm so excited.
I'm so excited. Welcome to the Court Reporter Podcast. How do you pronounce your last name?
Wigner.
Wigner. Okay. I like that.
It's unusual.
One of my voice teachers back in the day had that last name too. I think it might've been Wagner, pronounced Wagner. So that's why I figured out. Let me just ask how to pronounce it.
Yeah. Nobody ever knows how to spell it or say it. When we got married, I told my husband, I was like, you should just take my maiden name, which was Langley. I was like, everybody knows how to pronounce Langley. And we just laughed at it. And here I am with Wigner. So now I just like say it and that I'm like, okay, let me spell it for you. And then we're good to go.
Wigner, Elizabeth Wigner. Wow. Yes. You are known as the proofreading business coach. Okay. So why don't you tell me about yourself?
Yeah. So I have been a lover of reading and words, and anything opposite math has been what I love to do. So ever since I started, my mom taught me how to read when I was three, and I just have loved to read and writing and grammar and finding and fixing typos. And then on the flip side of that, I love teaching other people and helping others be able to achieve the goals that they want with their life too, because I've been an entrepreneur since I was 12. And it's just, perfect way to combine loving to read and fixing typos is proofreading. And I've always loved Nancy Drew and Hardy Boys. And so of course, when I was like, oh, I need to proofread for court reporters and love doing that, I still actually do. I have clients that I still proofread for. And then I also help other people learn how to proofread for court reporters as well. And so it's a very fulfilling life getting to do two things that I absolutely love to do.
Wow. Okay. So I just have to, so 12 years old, can you elaborate? Like what was your journey? How did you get into entrepreneurship? Was it proofreading or was it something else?
It was actually something else, which is kind of crazy. It would seem like it would be proofreading.
That would be pretty impressive.
But. Right? No, 12 years old. So I started playing piano when I was five. And isn't it rewarding? Just so fun and relaxing to sit down and play. It's such a good feeling.
Do you still play?
I do.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Wow. I played for 10 years from when I was 5 to 15, but I didn't stick with it, but I feel like it helped me with a lot of aspects of life.
Well, I've heard that a lot of times, musicians make great court reporters. So you were just laying the foundation for that. There you go.
Yep. That's really cool. Okay. Sorry. So continue.
No, you're good. So I started teaching piano. So I was homeschooled. My parents homeschooled me. And so I had a really flexible schedule, which set me up for entrepreneurship as well. And there was a little girl in the homeschool group who really wanted to play piano. And her mom was really brave and was like, well, I'll pay you $5 for 30 minutes to teach my daughter how to play piano. And that just branched out into, I eventually got my own studio and taught lots of students every week. And it was fun. It was like that entrepreneur bug bit me. And it's hard to pass up when you can make money on your own terms doing something you like to do.
Oh my gosh, that's so cute. $5 for a 30-minute lesson.
I felt rich at 12 years old. I was like, man, I'm going to. I could buy all the plastic horses I want.
How much money did you make?
You know, that's a good question. I had my once, I can't remember when I started picking up more students, but since I was in the homeschool group, I started getting on more students. And then eventually when I got my studio, I had a little over 30 students a week, and I had raised my rates by that point. I think it was, I don't know, maybe 15 or 20 for 30 minutes or so by that point. I'm sorry?
This was when you were 12?
So when I 12, and then it grew up into high school, and I actually taught into my 20s, and then I was like, yeah, you know, I'm ready for something else. And so I moved on.
Okay. So talk about your transition from that. You were a piano teacher, mm-hmm. and then you transitioned into proofreading. So how did that go?
Well, they're not related at all. Right. It's like, how did one go to the other? After high school, I realized during high school, I really liked grammar, and I could always find typos, and I loved fixing them and helping people look good. I mean, that's the job of a proofreader. So right out of high school, I started proofreading. I went to college for a couple years before I dropped out. And while I was there, I worked at the writing center where I would work with students and proofread their papers for them. And from there, I just started working online and with clients and been doing it ever since.
And then you started the proofreading training.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So my husband kept telling me, he's like, you love to teach and people keep asking you, how do you make money as a proofreader? He's like, you need to teach people. So I started teaching general proofreading, which is like books, blogs, websites, anything that's not the spoken word, essentially, because there's different rules and ways you proofread for that. So I started that and he's like, but Elizabeth, what you absolutely love to do is working with court reporters. And he goes, and that's such a unique niche. Like most people are like, you do what? And you like get to read true crime or like these crazy divorces or, you know, slip and falls. I mean, you know, the million different things you can read as a court reporter and their proofreader. So I started teaching that, and it's so rewarding getting to help people. And you know, this as a life coach, getting to help people learn something and fulfill their life goals in ways that they never pictured. Because it's when you can move from a 9-to-5 career to a career where you're in charge of who you work with and the amount you charge and the clients you have and just when and where you want to work, it's life-changing, the things that can happen in your life. And so it's so rewarding to watch other people learn a skill and have their lives turned around because of it.
And so when you started proofreading, you started with like blogs and things like that, and then you found court reporters, or how did that come about that you started working for court reporters?
Someone was talking about court reporters and proofreading for them. And I was like, I need to know how to do that too. And so I trained from another transcript proofreader, and it was rocky. Let me tell you, it was not easy getting started. And I had so many questions and so many mistakes and so many things that I wish if someone had just been there to that I could ask questions to and could have learned from, that I didn't feel like dumb asking questions about, or just all the ins and outs of running a business, it would make life so much easier. And so that's what I wanted to do for my students, was to be able to help them create a new life for themselves, a new career for themselves, without feeling lost or alone or like, what the heck am I doing? So they could just stand on my shoulders and go.
That's so nice. Cause I mean, for court reporters, it's like one of the hardest part of being a court reporter is just the fact that, like, aside from working in court full time, but like, most of us start with freelancing and just the whole aspect of running a business. That's not something that we were planning on doing. Like it's not a part of our curriculum. It's not a part of our training. We didn't sign up for it really. Like it's kind of just a part of the deal. You just start freelancing and it seems all simple, like, you know, business, like, okay, you receive money and you have expenses and you just add it up. But like, it's not just like when you talked about getting $5 for every 30 minute piano lesson, it's like, oh, that seems so simple, so easy. Like you just count up every $5 you make and
yes,
but it's just, there's so many there's so much complications and so much like so many details to pay attention to and things that it's overwhelming. And it, so and we don't have guidance on that.
That's interesting that it's that way for court reporters too, because it's like, people think that if you just learn a skill, then you magically know how to run a business, but being a court reporter or being a proofreader is a completely different skill than marketing yourself or managing your business or how to get clients or keep clients or manage situations that you never expected to. Not that it should be intimidating, but it's two totally different skills.
And it's like all these different departments and everything. It's just like, we want to do what we're good at, which is court reporting. You want to do what you're good at, which is proofreading, but then you also have to do marketing. You have to do all these other things. So how do you, I'm curious, like I'm actually super excited to learn from you. How do you manage your time? Cause you have to have the hours where you're acting as the CEO of your business. And you also have to have the time where you are the employee of your business doing the work and doing the proofreading. Like, do you still do proofreading? Like, you take clients?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. I still have a couple clients. One, because I absolutely adore them. I mean, court reporters, y'all are just, you're such an amazing person. Like, you just, y'all have such a unique skill and such a unique job, and it's fun. And you're all, court reporters are just so appreciative. So I would have a hard time saying no to not taking any more work. And it helps me stay relevant in the field for my students and grads too, so I can help them. But yes, I still proofread and I love it. I actually have a transcript I'm going to be proofing after I get off of this. So,
okay,
balancing how to do both. So I got off on how much I love it.
So that was okay.
To be completely honest, you know, I've been proofreading for almost 20 years. To say I have a balance is that would be an exaggeration. I don't have a balance. It's almost, I feel like when you own your own business, it becomes a part of you. And so the challenge what I say to my grads and to my students is proofreading is meant to support the life that you want to have. It's not meant to be your entire life, because that's what ends up happening. You get so excited about your job and you love doing it. And so you're just like, let me do everything. And then you suddenly realize I have a life outside of it too. So I'm a workaholic, type A personality. That's what I do is work. But I've been learning to... How I like to do it at the beginning of the week is I've tried planners, digital planners, online planners, you know, write it out. I'm one of those who've had out the wazoo of different ways to try to keep organized. But the way that's working for me now is I actually have a notebook that I keep on my desk. And at the beginning of the week, I write down what goals I want to accomplish for the week. And then I write down each day before I go to bed, what I want to do for the next day. And I'll put a star by the things that I absolutely have to get done. Like there's turning a transcript in on time or showing up for a live with my students. I also put in on my to-do list, like sit outside in the sunshine, you know, power lift today, or, you know, go to lunch with my husband, those kind of things. I think as business owners, a lot of times when we think about our goals and what we want our life to look like, we start thinking about how many clients do we want? And how much money do we want to make? And those kind of, which is important. I mean, that's the whole point of owning a business. And we don't always think about, I want to have time to go to lunch in the middle of the day if I want to with my husband, or I want to go sit outside with my dogs for a while, or I want to go play with my chickens, or, you know, I'm going to make time to power lift today. And so when you only focus on the business side of what your goals are, it's really easy to make that your whole life. Whereas if you start thinking about if you could picture what your ideal life is and then start making your goals each week to align up to those, no, you're not going to get everything you want to done in your business. And no, you're not going to get everything you want to done in your personal life either. But when you start looking at what's important, and that's where your focus is at, it really helps you be able to feel good about your to-do list and what you get checked off and what you don't get checked off. And you'll realize as you don't start checking things off, and maybe you're ignoring them, that maybe it's things that aren't priorities and shouldn't be in your life anyways, and you start moving them off your list. It's, you know, when you're starting and building a business, things like, is your house perfectly clean? Or did you get your makeup on that day? Things like that aren't priorities. But as you like settled into a groove, then you can start working on things that how you want it to be. So like drink lots of water, move, you know, get lift, walk, get out in the sunshine, make sure you're getting, you know, a decent amount of sleep. Those things make huge differences that you don't really think about when it's like, how do I become a better proofreader? Or how do I become a better court reporter? Right. But those make such a huge difference.
Right. I love how you have a notebook. I also, this year, starting just in March, I started using a blank page notebook Nice. And I kind of started journaling because no planners were working. I mean, I would like buy all these planners and then they would be empty at the end of the year. And yes. I would buy multiple ones thinking maybe this one will work. Maybe the, like, maybe the plan. No, it was just, I don't know. It was, I think it was just me. And also the digital ones, like, I don't know. There's so many distractions in the phone. So having a notebook and just kind of journaling, like, I think it's so important to like write down your goals for the next day, like you do, or even the morning of, like, what are my goals for today? And then at the end of the day, I always have to do a self like reflection. I try every day, like every night to celebrate by writing down what I accomplished. And even that's just a tiny little act of like celebration to appreciate what I got done and like to be happy and excited about it and give me fuel for the next day too.
I was just gonna say, I love that you make a point to celebrate yourself, because that's such, you know, we're so hard on ourselves for what we don't get done instead of flipping it around and being like, look how amazing it was to get everything done. I love that you take a moment to celebrate. That's awesome.
It really makes a difference. And I find that like when I put so many things on my to-do list and it's really hard, like I usually only get a few of them done. Mm-hmm. And but those few that I do get done, I should celebrate them, because it's like, well, yeah, I've been trying to get this done for a long time, or this is really important. Like it's worthy to be celebrated, I think. And So then also you said that you deliberately and intentionally plan those leisurely activities, lunches, and the things that you really, that are meaningful to you. And I think, and that's also one of the things that I teach my clients. And I learned also in my coaching program that like, you should prioritize your self-care, your lunches, like, you know, plan that and write it down and plan your vacations and whatever you need to do to relax, walk your dog, like plan those things out first.
Yes.
Literally
yes.
put them first, because it gives us an incentive to actually get our work done and be more efficient so that we have a reason to get our work done.
Yeah. That's a good point. Yeah. Have it as a, like a reward, like, hey, you do this, then hey, you'll have the time that you need to play a board game, or I mean, whatever it is that you really want to do that fills you up. And it doesn't just have to be at the end of the day too. It can be middle of the day, if you need like kind of like, I really pushed this morning and I'm going to take a break for a little bit.
Yeah, I plan, like I write down, if I'm not in a deposition, I write down like today, 1 o'clock is lunchtime. I'm going to force myself, because I get like really into what I'm doing, whether it's podcasting or marketing, like I get really into those tasks and it's like, I have to force myself, because if I don't do this, then I'm going to end up binging later, eating the whole house, eating snacks and just not being, not being healthy.
That's it. Yes. Because you, that's so good. You know yourself, you know what your maybe not so good habits are if you don't take the time. So saving yourself, even though it seems like you're cutting into something really important, you're actually preserving the rest of your day for you too. That's such a good point. Yes. I like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. When we give ourselves deadlines, of course we have our deadlines for proofreading and court reporting, and like we have to follow those deadlines strictly, but I find that I need to give myself shorter deadlines. Otherwise, I just literally take up all the time that I have. Yes. And then it's like you're like making excuses for why you can't do something with your friends, or like I'm too, you're using the phrase like I'm too busy all the time. But actually, it's just we didn't like plan effectively. It's like I didn't plan effectively. I didn't manage my time well. And that's why I have to tell people I'm too busy. So I try not to ever use that phrase.
That's good. No, that's really good. You know, some people, they like to time blocking is a big, I know, a big time management feature that a lot of people love to do. I actually have training for that inside the first unit of my course in the welcome unit, because a lot of people are like, I'm learning, I'm an adult, I already have all these other responsibilities, I'm trying to learn a new skill, start a new business, how am I going to find time for that? And I have a time blocking training in the beginning, because a lot of people love, okay, I know from this time to this time, this is the block of time that I think it'll take me. And if I put a limit on it, then I have a goal, as opposed to I'm just going to have all day to work on this, because you're going to make it take all day. Whereas if you're like, I'm going to be super zoned in for 30 minutes. Mm-hmm. And there are some people who don't like to, for me, I'm very much a free spirit. I hate if something is like, hey, Elizabeth, you need to have this done at 12:45. I'm going to be like, I'll do it at 2:45. The exception to that is like with my transcripts that have to be in on time. Those I am super specific on, but otherwise I just, how I do my time blocking is I know typically in my head how long things will take. And then I just go with my day. If my students need me, if church needs me, if my husband needs me, I mean, whatever it is, I'm available and I don't feel locked in. So really, it's a matter of trying different things and finding what works for you. Because like you said, you've tried a lot of different planners, and I'm sure people are like, this is the planner, and it just didn't work for you. It's important to find what works for you and then stick with it. That's the most important thing, is sticking with it.
That is so true. And then finding what works. I feel like the notebook thing is so helpful, because by reflecting, you're finding out, you're kind of keeping track of like what worked and what didn't work. Because when I didn't get something done that I meant to get done, then I try to ask myself, what happened? Like, why did I not get it done? Like, where did it go wrong? And then through those mistakes, which happen every single day, through those issues, I learn like, well, what works for me? What doesn't work for me? So it's like, it's always a learning process.
Yes. Yep. And as long as you said, you know, there are mistakes every day, absolutely, that's just part of growing. The mistakes, like if you make them and you learn from them, then that's what matters. And those are just perfect opportunities to keep growing.
Yeah. And it's like, what is really a mistake when you are your own boss, right? Like you're making the plan, and then you want to honor your plan, honoring yourself as like your boss, right? And so if you didn't, then okay, well, how can I do better next time? I love that. I love the whole notebook thing and the planning. So do you have any like specific routines that you feel like you need, or specific characteristics that you attribute to your success? Like I would not, like I have to do this, otherwise, you know, I'll be a mess. Even though in the moment you might not want to do something, but like, you know that like you have to do it.
That's a good question. You know, this is going to seem so strange, like the answer to it, because I have a million different thoughts I could give for that. Honestly, making sure that you get a decent amount of sleep, that you're drinking water, and that you're getting sunshine. I know those sound like not things of like, well, Elizabeth, I need a specific, how do I become a better proofreader, or how do I manage my business better? But honestly, I have pushed myself to the absolute extreme of my health, trying to sacrifice for my business. And your business only works because you are in it. And if you aren't taking care of you first, and for me, I have my big thing of water right here. I brought it with me, but honestly, my inclination is to go for the caffeine. It's to go for the junkies, snack foods. It's to be inside all day instead of getting outside of like grounding or being. And when I take the time to lift or drink water or be in the sun, it helps set me up for so much more success. And then I can go into focusing on how to build my skills or build my business. But if I'm not taking care of myself first, then it's not going to matter. And I know it seems like, well, I don't have time to do that. And you can survive on not taking care of yourself for a little while, but ultimately that time is going to catch up and bite you in the butt. Like you're going to wish that you had taken that time to be more careful on how you treat yourself. And it doesn't have to be very long. Like you can be outside for 10 minutes. It takes 2 seconds to fill your water bottle up and drink it while you're working. I mean, it's those things that it doesn't take long. It's a matter of making yourself do it. And so if you can get into a habit of daily writing down the things that you absolutely must do, even though there's little things, and checking them off, that made such a big difference.
Do you have like a morning routine? The only reason I ask about that is because I know like there's a lot out there about routines and stuff and how good, like the benefits of having them. And that's like one of my struggles, because it's such a random, there's no structure that I have right now. And so it's kind of different every day. And so I'm just curious, like, do you have a morning routine? Like, what do you do as your routine, if you have a routine?
I actually don't, which
okay.
I know you usually listen. Okay. Yeah. Yes. I feel like you listen to some people and they just sound like they have their lives completely put together. They have a morning routine. They have an afternoon routine. They have a nighttime routine. And I'm not knocking that at all. I mean, there are highly successful people, obviously, who have very defined routines that get them through their day. And there's also highly successful people who don't have routines and who make it work for them. I feel like people, especially if they're not a routine oriented person, feel like if they try to put themselves in a box of a routine, that it ends up stifling them and making them more discouraged and just give up all their plans to begin with. So, I mean, I do have the habit of, I mean, I do general things in the morning. Like if it's my workout day, I'll work out maybe, or I might put in the evening. You know, usually I shower, but sometimes it might be in the evening. It's like I mentioned, like I'm very much a free spirit. It's, I don't want to box myself into things because that doesn't feel good to me. That's not how I want my life to be. And so to me, it's just like, I know what I have to do during the day. I know in my mind about how long it takes. And I like to cushion in extra time if, you know, nothing ever goes as quickly as you think it will. So it's like, try to cushion extra time. And that's, some days I'll have more structure. You know, afternoons, I usually try to just be all focused in on work. Evenings, I do usually like to take an hour or two to just hang out with my husband. And then after that, it's usually work or watching my favorite crime shows or something like that. But in like Tuesdays and Thursdays are my podcast or meeting days. But otherwise, a routine just makes me feel stressed. And like if I don't check off everything on my routine because something went different in my day, then it really, it causes me more stress than it helps. And so to me, if I just have my list of what I need to do, then I'll get it done. And it's just, but that's my personality. I know some people are, it's like that would give them a heart attack. And so if you are that kind of person, then your routine, make what works.
That's awesome. I feel like better about, it just makes me happy to hear someone say that. Cause it's like, everyone's like obsessed with these routines and sometimes it feels like I have to follow this routine. I have to come up with a routine. So like for a while I've been thinking there were times I remember like coming up with a whole list of things. Okay, I'm going to do this and I'm going to wake up really early. I'm going to do this, 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 and this. And then I'm going to do this every single morning. And it has to be the same every day. And not even one day I could do it. Like,
Yep.
Like beat myself up about it and be like, what's wrong with me? I mean, I do have ADHD, so I feel like I do better on when I have structure, but it's like, yeah. Like I'm more of a free spirit naturally, but when I am a free spirit, it's like, it goes too far in some directions. Like,
but see, you know, I love that you know that about yourself because some people like they have a free spirit and then they wonder why they never get anything done. And it's because you still have to have discipline. Like yes. Are there things in my business that I don't want to do? Are there days where like even things that light me on fire that I'm like, I just need a nap? Absolutely. And when you have people who are dependent on you, like my court reporters did, I mean, they depend on me to turn their transcripts in on time or else they're late on their end, or my students and my grads, like they depend on me to have the resources and answers to their questions. And knowing that I have people who depend on me and that my success in my business depends on me, that helps me stay disciplined. So there is that balance of absolutely be disciplined. Like I am a workaholic. I am going to be disciplined, and don't put me in a box and tell me what time or how, what order I need to do it in kind of thing. So I love that you said that. Yes, you are. But you also realize what your boundaries are. And that's what's, some people need those boxes of perfect routines and that's how they are amazing. And some people don't. And that's also equally as good.